Okay, so let's talk about the bridge talk and some of the dangers that are there. And there are five dangers that things that we need to avoid. They're like potholes in the road of relationship. So let's look at them quickly here. They're simple, but they're critical. So the first is permission. If you get into a conversation where you're trying to sell or provide all kinds of information and you haven't received permission yet, it's not going to be well received. People aren't looking for it. As we said earlier, they were probably just being polite when they asked, so they really weren't asking for this. However, when they do give you that permission, it all changes. The second thing is stereotypes. We want to avoid stereotypes. If you think about the way the brain works, the brain is almost like, or our memory is like a series of coat hooks that have a little label under each one. So I receive a coat, and I'm about to put it on the coat hook, my brain is, and it needs to put a label there. And it can only have one label. And so you have to decide what is that label going to be. And if you say, I'm a financial advisor, they go, oh, I know what that is. I've got a stockbroker. Well, that's not the same as a financial advisor. Or if you say, I sell insurance, so they go, oh, I know about insurance people. They go to whatever historical reference point they have. So we want to avoid stereotypes because they're going to put you into a bucket you don't belong in. The third is we don't want to be gimmicky. We don't want to trap them. We don't want to force them into, okay, I'll bite, I'll answer your question, I'll engage in your trick dialogue or anything like that. We're not trying to trick them. We're not trying to sound gimmicky. You're a professional, you're an expert, and we want them to see you that way. The fourth one may sound a little obvious when I say it, but it's really important. Being irrelevant to them is a problem. So for example, if you go into, somebody says, what do you do? And you go into a deep technical explanation, in that moment, you may become immediately irrelevant. One, because they may not know what you're talking about. They may not have the dialogue. They may not have the vocabulary, and they may not have the interest. You're irrelevant. And so we talked about extraordinary invisibility before. You go into the invisible pile. We want to pull you up into the extraordinary pile so you're seen as extraordinary. And the fifth danger is if you start selling. This is not the time to sell. This is opening the relationship, not closing the deal. You don't even know anything about them. How can you sell them something? It's like we want to slow it down a little bit. And instead of the attention being on us and talking about what we want to and who we are and our clever language and why we're important to you and here's what you should get, what we want to do is we want to make the conversation about them, but not in any sort of evasive way. We want to do it in a way that's thoughtful. So there are five key attributes of a successful bridge talk. So let's talk about what they are. The first one's called effective ambiguity. And I was a little confused when I first heard this phrase. It was from my partner Todd, and he talks about effective ambiguity. It's like ambiguity is not effective. You want to be clear. Actually, it makes a lot of sense. If things are a little bit ambiguous, so effectively ambiguous, it can really work for you. And this helps us avoid stereotypes and putting ourselves into a bucket right away. We want to create a category of discussion, but without exactly narrowing down exactly where you are, because you're trying to create some dialogue, some interaction. So effective ambiguity. Ineffective ambiguity is I help people. That's great. Thank you. It doesn't tell them anything, but some effective ambiguity. Well, I think you'll see what that looks like in just a moment. The second is we're going to avoid stereotypes. Do not give your title. You're not going to talk about your financial services advisor. We're not going to say I'm an insurance person or an investment person. We're going to stay away from stereotypes because the reference point that they have is probably flawed. Not always, but probably. The third is it should be conversational. So whatever it is you're going to be saying next, it needs to sound conversational. And there's a test for it. And you want to test whether or not, can I say it in these three environments? Could I say this in a restaurant or a pub? Somebody looks over to you and says, so what do you do? And you say, oh, I do this. Right? So can you do it there? The second is, could you answer it in some sort of house of worship? You're sitting there and somebody says, by the way, what do you do? And you say, I do this. And they go, oh, okay, good. So could you do it there? And then the third is, could you do it from a stage? Could you step up onto a stage with 1,000 people in front of you and use the exact same words with that group as well? If you can handle all three of those, you know you've got it. If you're using words like develop proprietary solutions to enhance people's opportunities for greater whatever, it's like that ain't conversational. It's marketing. And frankly, if people talk to us like a lot of advertisers and marketers talk to us, we'd want to punch them in the nose. It's like you want to have it in real language, words you would use day in and day out. You don't have to sound clever here. You have to sound clear. The fourth thing it should do is create permission. And if they haven't said, tell me more, or what do you mean by that at the end, you don't have permission. But structured well, it does. And the fifth one is it's about creating interest, not education. You're not trying to teach them the industry, teach them your work, teach them a specific domain of discipline that you have. You simply want to create some interest, because our goal is to answer decision one. And that's agree to meet. Our goal at the end of this is that they do have some interest and they say, well, tell me more. And we talk a little bit more. And if they're still interested, it's like, why don't you come back to the office, or why don't we line up a time to sit down? And now we have agree to meet. We get to decision one. So where we're going to go to next is the actual structure of the bridge talk, what it looks like. But remember the five key attributes of a successful bridge talk: effective ambiguity, no stereotypes, conversational, create permission, and it's interest, not education.